Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Grilling JR with the voice of professional wrestling, Mr. Jim Ross. Jim, how are you, man?
I'm pretty good, Connie. Good to see you. Good to see you here, Dave Silva. He's a handsome little bastard. I'm good. I'm getting better every day.
Well, we're excited to have you back on the program. I know we've missed a few weeks in a row. You've had some health stuff going on. Can you give everybody an update and just catch everybody up on where you are and what's going on and how you're feeling and all that jazz?
Well, I'm in Oklahoma, which might be obvious, in my office in Oklahoma. So that's good for me. I flew out here about 2 weeks ago thinking that it was time to come home and evaluate everything. But on the way here, I contracted a virus, which was not cool. So the guy that helps me here runs my website, Stephen Link. He picked me up and brought me home, and I was feeling really bad. I don't know why. I just got to feeling bad. So we went to the emergency medical thing, and they admitted me to the hospital right away. So that was kind of scary. And I stayed in the hospital here in Oklahoma for three nights, I think it was, which is never any fun. And I was diagnosed as having I think they called it virus A or something along those lines. And so I struggled a little bit for a couple of 3 days, but I got over the hump, as I always do. Seemed like I always kick out. I can't do any jobs, you know, not in Oklahoma. It's like Lawler getting beat in Memphis. It just don't happen.
It don't happen.
So anyway, I stayed in the hospital, you know, a few days. The beautiful part I realized is that I have two daughters that are very helpful. And one especially is helpful because she's a licensed physician assistant. So she can interpret all the doctor stuff and all that. So that's been really good. And so I got out of the hospital. Obviously I'm not there now and feeling better. So, you know, it was a viral thing, and I wasn't prepared for it, quite frankly. I had to get on oxygen. I had an oxygen unit in my home. Still do. I'm not using it because I don't need it. So I had a little challenge, but that's the way it is. You know, the thing you have to realize, Connie, and you're not there yet, and Bull is not there yet, but, you know, you just got to understand that getting older comes with a price.
Right.
And so anyway, I'm battling and I feel good actually. I'm going to go, I got some appearances coming up. I got one on July 4th, and I'm doing something for Michael there at High Spots. And I'm going to be in the next time I'm going on the road will be for the AEW pay-per-view. So I'm going to resume my schedule of that activity. So I'll be at the next pay-per-view as far as I know. If Tony Khan doesn't want me there, then he'll tell me, but that's not been the case. He's been very supportive, and which I appreciate. You know, he's ended up being a really good boss in that respect, and I appreciate that. He doesn't have to be as nice to me as he is, but he's very nice, and I'm very appreciative.
We know that Forbidden Door is coming up at the end of the month. That's going down June 30th, 2024. Double or Nothing. Going to be here before you know it. All Elite Wrestling joining forces with New Japan Pro Wrestling. We've already got a lot of matches that have been announced, like Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay, and lots of others. But that's the one that everybody's talking about. And I, for one, am looking forward to you being back behind the microphone. Man, I hated you missed the Las Vegas pay-per-view. It wasn't the same without you. I'm glad you're going to get back to it, and we're going to get to hear you on pay-per-view again later this month.
Yeah, me too, Connie. Me too. I'm very blessed, very happy about that situation. I'm going to feel great. I feel good. I could do it right now. I could walk out of this room right now and put my drawers on and go do the show. But anyhow, all good. You know, I enjoyed that New York Yankee jersey signed by Mickey Mantle. So all my toys are in here, so it's good. But yeah, I'm going to be there at the pay per view. I'm not sure. So everybody always asks, "So what are you going to call?" It doesn't matter.
Right.
Why should it matter? That's an egocentric way of looking at it for some people. Well, what are you going to call? Well, what are you trying to say? That if I don't get the match I want, I'm not going? You know, come on. So I find out what I'm going to call when I get there. And I like it that way. It's just, it's good. So anyhow, but the wrestling business is certainly not boring right now. I can tell you that.
Well, there's a lot going on. I wanted to see what you thought of all the moving and shaking. We recently saw Ethan Page show up on NXT. They had a big pay-per-view over the weekend with Jordan Grace from TNA appearing. It looks like they've got their own little Forbidden Door going on there. And
yeah,
at the same time, we're not too far away. I guess it's this weekend is the big Clash at the Castle event. Going to be a big premium live event for WWE, and MJF is back, and Who Killed WCW is on Vice. There's lots of stuff going on. What's really caught your attention lately that you'd like to talk about today?
I enjoy the documentaries. I'm a documentary kind of a guy. Enjoy them. And because I guess because I was there for a lot of those things. And I can tell you when somebody's bullshitting us and when they're not. But I enjoy the documentary. So I've been kind of turned on to the, pardon me, the all that stuff. I thought Rock and his team did a great job on Who Killed WCW, because, you know, Conrad, what is the answer to that question?
Right.
Who did kill WCW? I don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that it's more of a tongue-in-cheek thing. I mean, I think it's apparent to me that, you know, when the Time Warner merger happened, you know, those folks on the corporate level just decided they didn't like wrestling. And that wasn't necessarily a new sentiment. But previously, from what I understand, Ted always had enough power to keep the thing going. And even if it meant it operated at a loss, as it did in 88 and 89 and 90 and 91 and 92 and 93 and 94. And you get the point.
Yeah.
But then, you know, after the merger, Ted just didn't have the same power that he did. And, that dynamic had changed, and well, the suits won, and they didn't want wrestling on their station, and it wasn't anymore. But the idea that it became a bargain basement fire sale right there at the end.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to episode 4 as we learn more about that. What was your take on Who Killed WCW?
I don't know. I don't think it's, you can lay it on one guy. You know, I think it's, a team effort, so to speak, but I think you hit the nail on the head. The upper brass that called the shots and wrote the checks, so to speak, decided they didn't want to play ball. And when they decided that, then it was a quick, sudden death. It was over. So I'm thinking it was a corporate thing more than anything, because everybody's going to try to blame individuals. You know, Bischoff gets his share of the blame. Was that justified? I don't know that. Kind of doubt it. You know, but now that this topic is out there, a lot of guys are coming out. You know, like Bret Hart's got an opinion, and I always appreciate what he has to say, whether I agree or don't agree. It's irrelevant. But I'm thinking it was a corporate thing and not one guy. I don't think Bischoff should get all the heat for that, quite frankly. If he does, then he should get the credit for the success that it had. To me,
it's interesting. You can't have it both ways. I appreciate you at least talking logic, but either he built it to be the biggest wrestling company in the world and then he torpedoed it, or it's got to be one or the other. Either he doesn't get any credit for the build nor the blame for the decline, or he gets credit for both. And yeah, I don't think that's fair.
I do too. Hey, he did a great job there. And, you know, his infrastructure was didn't support him as well as it should have.
Right.
In my opinion, he did a great job. Politics got involved. Egos got involved. And he had a very heavy ego company, talent-wise, that had their own opinions and had their own way of thinking and doing things. So I'm kind of leaning toward the corporate side of the, as the person or the people or the entity that killed it. So, but there's this fundamental things that happen that just, you shake your head and you wonder, you know, the pension, the attention to the house shows and live events pretty well died. There was no money there because the old, as the old adage goes, you know, WCW wasn't giving the people what they wanted to see.
That's right.
As simple as that. And, so anyhow, all good. It's all good stuff. And I'm glad that I got to live through most of it and, be involved. It's, it was interesting for my career. And the smartest thing I ever did was leave there. And that's going to sound very, very coarse, but it's the truth. Going to work for events was the smartest thing I did in my career wise. And I lasted at Vince's place for many, many years and earned some success. We built a hell of a roster. I think that my biggest accomplishment in wrestling is going to be the roster that we built during the going into and through the Attitude Era. That roster was dotted with Hall of Fame guys and main event talent. And where they were young, and you know, we did it. You know, Vince let me do my work, and some I hit on some of them, and some of them I didn't, but most of them came through pretty good. And we developed some great stars out of that group that you know, helped carry us through. It don't hurt to find guys like Stone Cold and Rock, and among others, there are others, but they raised the tide. They did a great job of they're hungry and they're talented. And they developed, and then they put the pressure on their dancing partners, the Triple H's of the world, Cactus Jacks of the world, all these cats. So I'm it was a good run. It was a good run. It worked out real well for me, and I'm glad I got the chance to explore that and be involved.
Well, I wanted to see what you thought of some of the other news and notes that have been happening in wrestling. MJF is back. How excited are you to have him back on the AEW brand?
Well, he's a player. He's a main player. There's no doubt about it. And he keeps people on their toes. He's got a great mind for wrestling and the drama, the dramatics, and so forth. Talented guy. And apparently he, I don't know this to be a fact, but it seemed like, you know, he was kind of fishing to see if he's going to get an offer from WWE. And apparently that didn't materialize. And maybe it wasn't time. I don't know. But you can't overstate his value. He's a very valuable asset to what is going on. Smart guy. You know, in some ways, Connie, he reminds me of Paul Heyman in the younger days.
Really?
Yeah, really, really smart, very perceptive, understands kind of what's going on, and he's an asset. He's young, he's got that youth, which you can't replace. So I'm excited that he's back, and I guess he's healthy. He seems to be healthy. I know he had some shoulder issue or something. He sent me a text the other day to hope I got better quick. Which I appreciated. That's a great thing about being sick, I guess. If there's any great thing about being ill, is that you find out who comes out of the woodwork to give you a little bit of support. And a lot of the younger guys appreciate my work, and they realize how important the role of the narrator, the announcer, the voice is of the entity, no matter what company you're with. So he's a valuable asset. It's going to be interesting to see what direction he goes, how far he goes, and all that. He's never boring. He's always got something going on, and that's why I think he's got a little Paul Heyman in him, is that he understands the game, and it is a game, and he's learned how to play the game very well.
Well, we'll see what's next in the game for Ricochet. The rumor and innuendo is that his contract is up, and we saw him, in theory, make his last appearance for WWE on Monday Night Raw. As you and I are recording, it's Wednesday morning, so folks are listening to this on a Thursday morning. Would you be surprised to see Ricochet in AEW?
Well, not really, but I don't know how much difference he makes. You know, it depends on how he's brought in and how he's presented, how he's positioned. He's a talented kid. There's no doubt about that. I've met with him before, and like him. He's very spot heavy. You know, I'd like to see him be able to be a little bit more fundamentally sound. But he's a very talented athletic kid. So who knows? But it seems to me to be kind of obvious that he would, that the AEW brand would be where he might migrate to. It's regular work. You know, I don't understand. It seems to me like, Connie, I don't know what you think about this, but the fact that guys can work essentially 1 or 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And still make a good living and work with quality guys. That's the great thing, too, that we don't talk enough about in AEW is that Tony Khan has assembled an amazing roster. It's pretty terrific, quite frankly. And I like the fact that they've got that rolling. And you know, we, again, you know, you see how good these guys and gals are when they, on these big events, they turn it on. They're young, they're competitive. They all want to be a star. And I think that's a great attitude. So, but you know, Ricochet can, he can add some, something to the mix if he's brought in the right way and he makes it his impact and so forth. So we'll see how it works out, but he's a good kid. It seems to me like a very good kid. And, he sure as hell talented. Now he's dating the ring announcer, right?
I think they might be engaged or perhaps even married, but yes, yeah, Samantha Irvin from WWE, who's done a fantastic job. She is with Ricochet in real life. And I don't know what happened as you're listening to this last night on Dynamite, but I did find it interesting that Will Ospreay, a guy who's got history with Ricochet, was wrestling Rey Fénix, another guy who had history with Ricochet. So hopefully something fun happened last night or something fun will happen with those cats in the future. Mm-hmm. We'll have to stay tuned for all that. A lot of people were kind of shocked and surprised to see that Will Ospreay is already getting his title shot against Swerve Strickland, who's been on a tear since he became the AEW champion. That's going to be the main event at Forbidden Door. What do you think of that matchup?
Swerve. It should be good, Connie. No, there's no reason it can't, it shouldn't be good. Both guys are young and hungry. You know, I think they're more concerned about having great matches than they are their own ego. I think that's cool. But Ospreay and Swerve will have a hell of a contest. And, you know, Swerve is a unique talent. He's a good choice to be the champion. He's a tough physical guy. I like that about him. He's trying to be a great champion, which I think he's beginning to succeed in that regard. So, but Ospreay's a piece of work, man. He's about as good as there is in a square circle these days, no matter where you look. So Tony Khan has put together a great roster. If you watch a AEW pay-per-view, it's hard to find a bad match. They just don't happen very often. And I think that is attributed to the overall talent and just the general feel. Nobody wants to go out there and suck. Everybody wants to steal the show as best they can. And I'm always intrigued by the card and the order of the card, who's on first, so to speak. I think that's really important. And so anyway, the Forbidden Door is something I'm looking forward to. Now, where is that going to be?
New York.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice airplane trip. So it's all good though. I mean, I have to come to the understanding that I'm not 30 and I got a role, and my role is what it is. My role is to call some of these pay-per-view matches and enjoy, try to add to them, try to make them more passable, more meaningful. And on an AEW pay-per-view like Forbidden Door, you don't have to worry about that. You know, the guys and gals are going to come out and bust their ass and try to steal the show, as the old expression goes. And that may be too literal, but nonetheless, I dig what we're trying to do. And the TV shows have been, unique and solid. So we'll kind of play that by ear, but I think it's, I haven't seen us have a bad pay-per-view yet, or at least not recently. That's for sure.
I love seeing you back in Oklahoma. How's it like being back in Oklahoma? Are you enjoying being back, quote unquote, home?
Yeah. It's been good. I got a lot of support system here. It's a lot of people, doctors I went to my new doctor. She's a very attractive woman, not by my choice, but she is. And she remembered me as when she was a young girl on TV. And I run into that a lot, where people, you're JR, right? Yeah, I am. Oh, I used to watch you when I was a kid type thing. So I get that a lot. And it's always appreciated. So, that's always a nice thing. I don't stand in line a lot. And I don't have to have lunch by myself very often if I don't want to. So it's all good, man. I'm glad I'm here and I enjoy the company of my other guys, and it's not even football season. We talk football, certainly, but certainly the timeline is getting more nearer for the Oklahoma's debut in the SEC. All right, it's a mixed bag around here. Some people believe that we're going to win 5 or 6 games. Some people believe we're going to win a few more, but nobody knows, obviously. So it should be fun. The schedule's daunting and challenging. I think we play Alabama and Norman. So that's always going to be good. Pardon me?
It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for those games this year.
Yeah, it is going to be fun. And I got a parking spot across the street from the stadium, and literally across the street. And so I'm set up. I'm ready to roll. In that respect, lucky I got good seats. We have a suite. The goddamn suite seats 18 people. That's a little too many for me. But it's not. I don't pay for the suite either. So shut up, JR. It's pretty cool. Good food. Bathroom across the hall. It's all great.
Got life like you like it. I can't wait to see Alabama, Oklahoma. As a reminder for those of you who don't keep up with that sort of thing, that's going to be the Saturday before Thanksgiving. So,
yep.
Of course, right after that will be a big rivalry week. Alabama will play Auburn and things like that. But Oklahoma, right at the end of the season, there's going to be a lot of stakes in that one, JR.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. First, I've been to an Alabama-Oklahoma game in my illustrious career, time or two. One in Alabama. I think Shula was the coach at Alabama at that time. I'm excited about the whole damn process. It's going to be fun, man. Again, I don't know how many games we're going to win. The Oklahoma's got a top 5 recruiting class signed as we speak. That always helps to have more healthy, talented bodies assembled on your team. We've made some strategic coaching changes. We'll see how they materialize. So it should be good, man. It should be a fun year, a different year, first year in the SEC. So I'm pumped. I'm ready to roll, and hopefully it'll be really, really good. We even have a Friday night game. We're playing D'Lo Brown's alma mater, the Maine Black Bears. That's big. No kidding. We should kill them, and not because of D'Lo. He's not playing, by the way. He's used his eligibility. So, anyway, thanks for all. Everything's good. The big news is that we discovered as we went on the air is that Silva's son shaved his mustache.
Well, and it is big news. Breaking news here from Grilling JR.
Yeah.
Bull Ramis's son has finally shaved the infamous mustache.
Yeah.
All this and more breaking news here on Grilling JR. Let's do some questions from our live studio audience.
Okay.
Jim in Buffalo says, so great to have you back with us.
Thank you.
Have you been following the trajectory of Rick Steiner's son since he's been moved to the main roster? It seems like WWE might be prepping to really push him. We've seen a lot of high praise from the Braun Breaker front. What do you think of Ron and his work so far?
Well, I'm pretty impressed. He's an impressive young man, and I'm, you know, golly, I, this is going to sound like a broken record, but I've known him his entire life. Good small college football player, great athlete. He's got that Rick Steiner DNA in him, which doesn't hurt a thing. But I'm impressed. I'm always impressed to see where they go with him or anybody else of that's been pointed out or underscored as a real prospect. It's just a matter of systematically incorporating the individuals into the system, giving them some significant wins, and seeing where it takes them. But he's a great prospect. I mean, I don't know who you could compare him to, you know, Lesnar maybe, in some ways, but he's just a natural athlete, big and strong. And, I hope that he achieves greatness. He's from a great family. And, you know, his dad was very underrated, I thought. I think Rick Steiner was very underrated to the standpoint that, you know, he stood in Scotty's shadow more often than not, it seemed. I'm not saying Scotty was a lot better worker. I don't know that to be factual. But I like this kid, Conrad. I think he's going to be – it all depends on how they put the house together, how they build his foundation and stuff like that. But they're doing some things with the Braun Breaker. I'm not wild about the name, but who cares what I think about his name. But he's a stud. He's a legitimate stud, and I think he'll do. He stays healthy and stays sane. I think he'll do great. Yeah.
We welcome you live here. If you're hanging out with us at grillingjr.com, we're having a lot of fun, and hope that you will hit the subscribe button, turn on the notifications bell. You never know when we're going to go live. Because hell, today we didn't even know we were going to go live, but we are live, and are thrilled that you're here with us. That's GrillingJR on YouTube.com. Hit the subscribe button. Turn on the notifications bell. GrillingJR on YouTube.com. Let's do another question here. Sweet Z wants to know, how's Jerry Lawler doing nowadays? I ask because I'm a huge fan of you and the King as commentators. We're glad you're feeling better. Have you heard from your old pal Jerry Lawler lately? What's he up to, Jim?
Well, he's staying booked, you know. His theory is always, how long are you going to do this, Jerry, until they stop booking me, is his answer every time. But, you know, I think he's feeling better. He seems to be feeling better. And he's like all of us old guys, you know, we just got to pace ourselves and be smart. But, you know, we're talking about doing some appearances together, which I'm looking forward to if it materializes. So if you're a promoter out there and you're thinking about making yourself some cash, JR and the King are available. So that should be fun. I like doing those. I like doing them with him because he's just his commentary, his running commentary about people coming up to the table, et cetera, is classic and timeless. So, but he's fun. He hadn't changed. He's still horny old Jerry.
I love you for that. IFAYIII wants to know, what was your experience working with Bruiser Brody? He's one of those folks who left us way too soon. And
yeah,
there's always been a lot of talk about what if, you know, what he could have done if he was with Jim Crockett Promotions or an opponent for Hogan at WrestleMania. What was your experience working with Bruiser
Brody? My experience, excuse me, Conrad, was very positive with Frank. When I was going to Major League Umpire School in 76, he was working the Florida territory. And, so we'd get together once a week and my buddies in the umpire school were, awfully, they were marked out because they'd see him on TV and he had a great reputation and a great legacy. But I never had a bad word with him, but of course I didn't book him. I didn't have to work out finishes with him and things of that nature. But if I had to do that, I feel confident that, he and I will be able to communicate. That was the thing about, when you hear about talents that are problematic, allegedly, It's because they're not, they don't, people don't communicate with them well, very well. So, I'm a big Bruiser Brody guy. I love Frank. He was, we rarely talked about wrestling, cause it just, there's nothing there to talk about. You know, he was just, but we talk about everything else but wrestling, and primarily sports, cause he was very knowledgeable, as far as sports were concerned. And he was a former sports writer, former college athlete. We had a lot in common in that respect, of similar likes. So I didn't have the negative experience that a lot of people had with him, because I felt like I had the ability to communicate. And being able to communicate with Frank was imperative. It was important. And I'm not sure the other bookers, I think they came into a relationship with him as a top guy, always leery that he was not going to, you know, walk out the door or what have you. So I enjoyed working with him a lot, and broke my heart when he got killed. That whole thing is still a mystery to me. Why it's, what was never really addressed as seriously as it should have been. But he was just he's a swell guy, man. I enjoyed being around him and talking to him, and, you know, we went to the same place. I can't remember the name of it there in Tampa, but, you know, my buddies and I would go to, we'd have dinner with Frank, and it was all good. It was one of his nights off, and he had nothing else to do. And he was interested in shooting the breeze with a bunch of sports guys. And everybody there was in umpire school. We were all there on the same pretense. So, and he was always curious about that. And, we had 120 students in a class. And so he had a lot of stories that he could be share and tell. So I enjoyed working with him, Conrad. He was just a, you know, I don't have anything bad to say. He just was and he was an amazingly talented guy with great charisma, had outstanding ring psychology, even though some of the old bookers that he worked for might disagree with that. But he knew what he wanted, and he knew what worked and what didn't work for his persona. And that's really, really important. It reminds me a little bit of Austin, in the standpoint that Austin knew the guys he could work with and get the best results out of, and those that he couldn't. And he didn't mind at the end, as time went on, speaking up. And I think that's what talents today need to do. It's a matter of how you speak up. You know, I used to tell people this about working with Vince. You know, you can either confront him or you can converse with him. And it's obviously better when you converse as opposed to confronting. Confronting the alpha male and the decision maker sometimes just doesn't pay dividends.
We got a question that I found on the YouTube community page from user OY8MJNDG30. Okay. Heck of a name there, pal. Have you heard any of Eric Bischoff's criticism of AEW, and what are your thoughts? Eric's been pretty vocal about some of the creative and some of the decisions. And I think some of the times people are quick to defend AEW and think it's a personal attack or something like that. I think Eric has, you know, seen the ups and he's seen the downs in WCW. And I think he has a place to have his opinion. Have you heard his opinions, and what do you think?
I've heard some of them. They seem to follow the same path more often than not. He has an educated opinion, and he's been there and he's done that. I think sometimes it gets a little bit one-sided, but that's just me. And I'm very biased because I'm getting paid by the company that he's critiquing. But he's got a right to his opinion, and for anybody to think that he doesn't, they're mistaken, but he's got a right to his opinion. And I agree with all of them? Well, I don't think so, but I do reserve the right to say I enjoy the fact that he cares enough about the business to speak his mind. And whether we all agree or don't agree or agree part time or what have you is really another issue. So, you know, he's been around a long time, and he's still engaged enough, Connie, to have a strong opinion. And I know he does a good job for the ad-free your ad-free network He's seemingly all over the place. He stays very busy on social media, and that's what in our world, I should be more engaged than I am. But I'm not, I don't have the motivation that Eric has. He's just, he's always got something. And I try to read what he's got. I'm glad that he's still active and still gives a shit.
We got to do another question here from Flash Garvin 3918 over on YouTube. He says, Jim, you've mentioned you met with the Carter family about coming to TNA and stated that you would need total control to make the move.
Correct.
If they did decide to give you what you wanted, which wrestler would you have built the company around at that time?
Oh God, that's open. That's a big old broad question. Whoever was young and healthy and had a good attitude. That sounds very benign answer. It's like a very benign answer, but that's kind of where you are. Youth, be built with youth and athleticism. And I don't even, you know, I couldn't tell you right now. I couldn't pass a quiz, Connie, on who all was there at that time. On the roster, the covers were not bare by any stretch of the imagination. But in order to coach the team and to get the team on the field in a situation where they could theoretically win, you really needed to, you needed that chemistry and youth, athleticism. It would not be the old establishment. It would be a little bit, it would be younger, different faces, and you'd challenge guys to do better and be better. So I don't know who that person would be, but it wasn't like the, you know, Sting was there at that time, right? I don't think.
Yeah, Sting would have been there, and AJ Styles would have been there, and Samoa Joe, and
yeah, they're talent.
Yeah,
that's talent, and I love that aspect of it. They had a lot of good talent, but they had too many cooks in the kitchen, in my opinion. And you know, I had a great Dixie and her brother, his family flew me from here in Norman to their place in Texas, which was about a 20-minute flight. And so I had a great day. I had a great day with them. And I found out that I could easily have worked successfully with Dixie's family and her, but I had to have be able to call the plays. It's hard to write a script. It's hard to write a story if you still have to run it through everybody. And I couldn't do that. I wasn't going to do that. If I'm not good enough to do the gig, then you shouldn't hire me. If I'm not the right guy and you give me some autonomy, I wanted all the autonomy. I wanted, if I wanted somebody to lose, then they were going to lose. But there's going to be a good reason for it. It wasn't going to be malicious or a negative way. So all that was good, but I don't know who I would have featured. Like you just, we named those names. Pardon me. The cupboard wasn't bare, and that encouraged me, but I couldn't quite get to the promise, the finish line on that project. And maybe at the end of the day, Connie, it worked out for the best for everybody involved. Hell, I don't know, but I had a good, I had a great meeting, and I got a chance to get to know Bob Carter and his wife. Nice people, really nice people. And we would have been able to do business, there's no doubt. But, you know, Dixie's had to let go of a little bit of it. And she was kind of, I don't want to say spoiled, but she had her way of doing things. And so it just didn't work out. You know, we had that one good meeting, and we talked on the phone subsequently several times. But we couldn't get to the finish line. And it'd been nice to see what would have happened if that had occurred, but it didn't.
We know what else didn't happen is Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 40, and RobDog0393 over on YouTube says, do you think Stone Cold Steve Austin's loyalty to Vince may have impacted his decision to miss the Mania 40 spot? I know you're going to say it's probably one of the two C's, but it's hard for me to believe that either of those couldn't have been overcome so he could appear. What do you think? Is there another reason, perhaps, that Austin didn't make the show?
I'll always go back to the two C's, Connie. Passionate, creative. That's where it all starts and ends, especially for a guy like Austin. Austin had he knew what he wanted, and he knew what he liked, and he knew what he could do and what he couldn't do, and how to maximize the time he had left in the ring. So, you know, he's a complex guy, and he's financially secure, and he understands his character better than anybody ever did. So, it's too bad it didn't work out, but it don't seem like they missed anything by him not being on the card. They still had a loaded card. They had 2 days worth of matches at WrestleMania. Seemed like that's going to be the norm. They got such a big roster that it gives everybody a chance to work and shine. So, I missed Steve not working because I'm a huge fan, maybe too much at times in my lifetime. But he's just, he knows what he can do and what he can't do. He knows what he likes and what he doesn't like. And to be honest with you, he has the right and has earned the right to feel that way.
Shout out to Michael Silvers, who's joining us. And man, he's asking a question and he's throwing some ducats your way, and for the honor to do so. Thank you for the donation, Michael. He says, "Hey, JR, I hope you're feeling better. I was curious if you ever hosted the WWF Wrestling Spotlight show during your time between 93 and 95.
I'm sure I did. Don't remember specifically, but I'm sure that I did. I was kind of a utility guy there for a while. I played all the positions on the infield, it seemed like. But, yeah, it worked out good. I enjoyed it. I think I was on all those shows. You know, I think Stan Lane and I probably had as much of a tenure as anybody, as a variety of matches and shows to be on. And that kind of keeps you fresh. So I bounced around, and the only thing I knew I had to do was stay in the game. If I could stay in the game and I stayed long enough, which did work out this way, then hopefully I would be rewarded at some point. And I was. You know, Vince told me long ago in that relationship, if you stay with me, you're going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to take care of you. Well, when a promoter says he's going to take care of you, you don't know exactly what that means. But you just have to trust. And I trusted Vince, and it worked out fine for me. I did make a lot of money there. And without sounding egocentric, I had a great run. And I hope the other guys are there now. I get curious, and I listen to the, I don't know, Conrad, do you listen to the commentary a lot when you're watching wrestling on TV?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. Maybe too much sometimes. I'm not sure. But I enjoy, I think AEW has got a great announcing crew. Excalibur kind of is the spearhead of that deal. Shivani is just one of my all time favorites, quite honestly. And I think Nigel McGuinness is very underrated and very smart and perceptive. He's got good timing. Taz plays a very important role in what he does. So I don't know. I think the announcing on TV right now is pretty damn solid for everybody. I don't know who sucks. I don't know who I would listen to or tell you right now, well, this guy's not that good. They all have something that they're bringing to the dance, and I'm pulling for all of those guys. It's a hard job. It's a real hard job. I mean, I've done football, and I've done MMA, and I've done boxing. I know in the new book, we've got a chapter on on boxing that was pretty cool. I'm glad we got it in. So that's on our new book, which I'm sure that Bull Ramis has a copy of, so he can put the graphic on the screen.
Hint, fantastic. Hint.
Yeah, there it is. So, and by the way, when I got here, I signed a ton of books. So there's a lot of autographed copies of the book available right now at jrbbq.com. And I know we're getting them out. And we had a meeting about that yesterday. So it's all good. I'm happy about the book, and it's selling well. If you haven't checked it out, you should. The audible.com version of it is very popular, and which makes me feel good because I put a lot of work into that project. It's a lot more challenging than one might think of on the surface. So, you know, I had two producers in my ear, and, you know, I had to make sure I adhered to all the punctuation marks. In other words, when there's a comma, you pause, and things like that. And they are all over that deal. So audible.com is a good spot. Check it out. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback on that deal. So, you know, if you get a chance, without just begging you for your order or your buy, so to speak, give it a shot. It's an interesting way to hear the book or to experience the book, without reading chapter by chapter. So it's kind of cool. And, I'm very proud of it. And like I said, it's selling well. I haven't, you know, the ideal world, I would have been out there signing books and at bookstores and all this stuff. But between that and my frigging hell, I just haven't had a chance to get there, but, I will. We'll get there. I signed a bunch of books at the appearances that we were doing, and, we got some appearances coming up, and I'm excited about that. I don't know if Bull has anything on that, but nonetheless, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And I get back out in the public, and that helps me a lot. Helps my ego, be frank about it. Helps me feel good. Makes me feel better about my profession and my work. And the crowds have been great. So there's still this is going to sound really egocentric, but there's still a positive feel about JR making these appearances. And I really appreciate that, quite frankly.
We got a question here from Brent Barnett. He says, we recently passed the birthday of Howard Finkel. Any good stories of being on the road with Howard?
You could always tell what Howard had for breakfast by the remnants of the food on the New York Post and the Daily News. Because every morning, you know, I don't know what time Howard got to work. He got to work a whole hell of a lot earlier than I did. I'm thinking he was in the office by 7 a.m. local time. And so he would bring me the Daily News and the Post every morning. When I got to work, they were usually on my desk because I didn't lock my door. That might have been a mistake in a long haul. I don't know. But nonetheless, Fink was there, always there on site. And he loved to deliver the dirt. Howard was big on the dirt sheets. And he lived and died on every word, seemingly. But he was just that kind of a fan. I don't think I've ever met anybody that loved pro wrestling more than Howard Finkel. And he came from literally, I mean, obscure beginnings, for him to be, and Vince took care of him. So he could be annoying. He could, be a little bit, eccentric, but he was a talented ring announcer without question. He had a very recognizable voice that broke through the clutter. That's an important role. I mean, I know that the Samantha Irwin, is it Irwin? Is that her name?
Irvin.
She's doing a good job. But, you know, we've got Justin Roberts, who's maybe the best in the business and maybe the best that's been in the business for a long time. Bobby Cruz, longtime voice of Ring of Honor. I like both those guys a lot. They do a good job. So the ring announcer role is becoming more focused. It's an important role. It's a communicator. And so both those got both those entities for AEW did a terrific job, and I'm happy to be working with them. Quite frankly, Justin is very talented. Bobby is as well. So you know, we've got two good ring announcers, and that is an important role. That's an important role. Anytime somebody talks on TV, whether the ring announcer or a color commentator or a play-by-play guy or the third guy in the booth or whatever the hell it may be, it's an important role. And we feel those, I think we check all those boxes pretty damn good right now. We have a lot of good announced talent in AEW. And I enjoy listening to them work. So it's all good, buddy. It's all good. And I'm lucky that I got to be, I'm a part of that in a small way, but still a part. And that's all that matters. I'm on the team.
Let's talk about another guy who was, on a different team. Over on YouTube, we got a question from Deans-JM3UF. Is it possible to rehabilitate a talent who's been beaten often for a long period of time? For example, a guy like Dolph Ziggler, who's extremely talented, but booked underneath for years, and the credibility is now ruined with the audience. Is there anything that can be done other than going to a new promotion? And that's a good question for you, because we've heard you say before, hey, you got to go away and learn a new hold.
So to speak.
Yeah. Is that the way to do that? I mean, we saw that Cody did that. I mean, certainly he was presented as a middle of the pack talent for a long time with WWE. He left, bet on himself, came back, and now he's on top. Is that the only way, or is there a way to do it without ever leaving?
Well, that's the best way, to say the least. That what Cody has done is the best way, because you reinvent yourself using the skills that you learned along the way to become more effective, become a bigger star. But you got to have some abilities. I don't think anybody is beyond rehabilitation. I don't think anybody. It's a matter of getting somebody on a roll, building momentum. And it can be done. If you're a smart booker and your creative is committed to the talent, then, and the talent is committed to the company, it can be done. So I don't think you throw your hands up and walk away from anybody. That's not logical to me. But Dolph Ziggler's a good example, because he's a great talent. I mean, he's really a good, I wish he was in AEW. I think he's just a terrific, and he's smart, and he's been around long enough. He's seen, he's learned, he's experienced the whole gambit. So, but it's never too late for somebody. If the company and the creative branch of that company is committed to the rehabilitation of the talent, and the talent is on the same page, and they're willing to contribute and add to their presentation, then you can have success. Nobody should throw their hands up and walk away. It's just, unless that's your gut feeling, as I'm done. If you think you're done, you probably are, but you don't have to be done. It's just a matter of regrouping and repackaging yourself. I just don't believe in, there's not enough great talent, so you don't give up on people. At least that's my theory. Don't give up on talent.
We got another question here. This is from our live studio audience over at GrillingJR on YouTube.com. If you haven't already, go hit that subscribe button. Turn on the notification bell. Don't miss us the next time we're live. Dawson Fields wants to know, what is Jim's favorite wrestling rivalry of all time? Does one stand out above all the others for you, Jim?
Boy, it's hard to say, Connie, because there's been so many, I've experienced so much good stuff. I always, somewhere in this conversation, I would say Bret and Stone Cold, because I just think that they had great, great chemistry. They're on the same page. They told amazing stories. They were physical. They connected the dots. They did all the things that you should do. Rock and Austin was another one. You know, when you get three times WrestleMania main events in one-on-one matches, it's pretty significant. and they had 3, 15, 17, and 19 did Austin and Rock. And I called them all. I was at the right place, the right time to call them all. So Austin is always going to be probably somewhere in my conversation on this topic. But there was a lot of great rivalries. You know, somebody sent me a clip of something the other day from Undertaker and Shawn, and I forgot how good it was. I shouldn't have, but I forgot how good it was. It was just amazing. And for Undertaker to wrestle, he's almost 7 feet, and Shawn's a little over 6 feet. The size difference could have been an issue. It wasn't. So nonetheless, there's been a lot of them out there, but I think if I kind of narrow it down to a small little sample size, something involving Austin and Brett would be in the conversation. They just had too much great chemistry, and they cared about the presentation. And it wasn't a touchy-feely thing. They when they locked up, you go back and watch any of their matches, when they locked up like a real man. And to me, that's where it all starts. The lockup.
Brent Barnett is with us live here on YouTube at grillingjr.com or grillingjr on youtube.com, whatever you prefer. Hit that subscribe button, turn on the notifications bell, just like Brent did. His question is, Jim, I recently read that Becky Lynch is a free agent. How monumental would it be for AEW if Tony Khan could get her signed?
Well, I was involved in getting Becky Lynch started in WWE back in the day. So consequently, and obviously I'm a big fan of hers. You know, she's one of the individuals that will reach out occasionally and see how I'm feeling, things of that nature. And I have great respect for her and her husband. He's a hell of a hand too, without question. So, I don't know anything about her contractual status. You know, obviously, Connie, I think we all could agree that if AEW was able to sign a talent of her level, it's going to help. Right. She's a player. She's a main event level player, and she's got great name identity. Pardon me. And I think the world of her as a human being. So anytime you can, you know my theory of hiring good human beings, she fits that mold perfectly. She's terrific. And but you know, I don't know. Pardon me. I don't know how committed she is to being a mom, and meaning that, not that she's a good mom or a bad mom. She's obviously a great mother, but what if she wants to have more kids?
Right.
And that could happen. Pardon me. So anyway, I don't know what she's going to do. I would be very shocked if WWE let her slip away. Just can't, I can't. That doesn't feel right to me. They've got a lot of money invested in her. They've got her over. She's famous. She's a main event level talent. She's broken a lot of molds. So I'm a big Becky Lynch supporter. And whatever she does, I'm pulling for her. And I think she's just an amazing human being and a great mom. You know, Seth Rollins is lucky. He outkicked his coverage, as we say.
Here's a question from Kerry Abdullah Jr. Kerry wants to know, Jim, would you ever go back to WWE? I know you're under contract WWE, but is there with AEW rather, but is there an alternate universe where you could see yourself going back to WWE sometime?
Well, you never say never, Connie, quite frankly, pardon me. You never say never, especially in a business where it has so few jobs available. That's not in my plans. You know, they've gone younger. Could I contribute? Of course I could contribute. But that's just not in the plans right now. I love my role. Pardon me, man, I got a frog. Froggy's big today. It's one of those, I got a frog about the size of a goddamn football helmet in my Kwai pond.
You see any headlines with your name in them in the last few weeks that made you chuckle?
Well, not really. You know, people speculating on my health, which is nice, I guess. But no, I don't think so. I think everything's, you know, I haven't been that active on social. So I'm pretty cool with what's being written. Most people are just concerned about my health, and that I appreciate, but,
absolutely.
Yeah, of course. But I'm feeling good. I feel good today. I can tell you that. I had a great dinner last night, Conrad. You never believe what I had for dinner.
What'd you have for dinner last night?
Barbecue.
Oh, surprise.
Yeah, there's a lot of good barbecue places in Norman, quite frankly. And I try to be a good local consumer. Support your local businesses. I do that. And I stumbled across this place that had great cobbler, peach cobbler. And it did me in last night. I shouldn't have had it, but nonetheless, it was too damn good to turn down. And but yeah, I that's another great thing about living here. I know all the restaurant owners.
That's right.
You walk in and they know who you are, and they take care of you, and they're glad to see you, and they give you a hug and all that good stuff. So, but I like that's another aspect of living here that I enjoy, the restaurants. You know that restaurant you and I went to, that Mexican yes. diner?
Mm-hmm.
I went there yesterday thinking about you. Really good. Huevo Ranchero is the name of that place. It's on Tecumseh and Norman. And I had a great breakfast, poached eggs, spinach. I'm trying to eat healthy, but it was really good. So that was after my visit to draw blood. Do you ever do blood draws?
Only at the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I had the most pleasant experience. This little redheaded gal, I know I showered her with confidence to start the process, and I watched her do her business, and I've never experienced anything as good in my life. And it's funny how I've had technicians hit me 6 or 7 times to get blood, and it's just all of a sudden it's horrible. But she was just so good. She didn't miss. She didn't miss a bit, and it was great. So you learn through all your processes what's important. And going, if you're going to give blood, you want to make sure you got a good representative to take care of you. And I found that yesterday. It was really a very positive experience. And I needed to know what it was. So, but I got a hot doctor. Too bad she's married. That's what I need. I need a younger woman that's got a medical degree, that's making good money. And I could cook for them or something. But nonetheless, that wouldn't be a bad life to be hooked up with a physician.
BlueChew.com is our sponsor.
Yes, sir.
Let's do another question here. This one comes to us from Dave Just. He's with us live on YouTube, and he wants to know, will Shane McMahon ever come back to WWE or AEW? Could you imagine Shane McMahon showing up in AEW? That'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And it's so crazy that it might work.
Yeah.
Depending on how it was positioned and how it was introduced. Shane called me the other day. He's called me 2 or 3 times, which I really appreciate. And he's always been sensitive in that respect. I know when Jan got in a wreck and killed her, that he was one of the first individuals to contact me and all that. So, that's only a question that Shane could answer. Shane and Tony Khan being together, how would that work creatively? Heck, who knows? Might be great. But in any event, will he come back in AEW for some reason? That all depends on Shane and what he wants to do. I try to follow his son's football career at Indiana. I guess he's still in Indiana.
Declan, I think, is his name.
Yeah, that's right? His name. Yeah, yeah. And a very athletic kid. Very athletic kid.
Honey Boy over on YouTube has a question. Did he ever talk to Scott Hall and Curt Hennig again after they were fired after the plane ride from hell?
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about, Connie. Those are not good days for me.
Right.
Because I like both guys. And both guys are very, very talented. You just can't go out and pluck another talented guy as talented as they were out of the air. So, you know, I was left with no alternatives in that respect, but primarily because that's what Vince wanted. He didn't want to associate with Scott or with Kurt, and the talent should have. They messed up. They messed up. It should have been acrimonious as it was. That was unfortunate. But no, I didn't. After, I mean, I signed off, so to speak, in the most professional, polite way possible. But once the bridge was burned and we were done, we were done. And so I don't know what else I could have done. I don't know if they would have even been interested in talking to me. I mean, I released them from their deals. So who knows? I don't know why they would have had any need to speak to JR. But you know, I didn't see Kurt, but over the time, of course, we hired Scott in WWE. And you know, he was so talented. It was just a sad scenario that he was not unable to stay straight enough to hold a job, because he's really a brilliant guy. Scott Hall could have been a great booker on a booking committee, whatever, as good as anybody that I can recall off the top of my head. But once once we said adios, and this is what Vince wanted, and I'm not saying didn't support him, because in order for Scott to stay with the company, he needed to change a few things, primarily his drug and alcohol abuse. And I would have loved to work with him. He's a smart guy. Smart guy. Great, great mind. And you don't find a lot of guys like that. In other words, here's how that would work. Here's how I judged it. If you as a talent were able to contribute and for others, not just yourself, not just book your own program or your own angle, then it increases your value immensely. And Scott Hall had that ability to see talent in different lights, different ways to look at them. And he could have been a real big player over the long haul, but he got his ass whipped by drugs and alcohol. And that's just so unfortunate. It shouldn't have ever happened.
Jim in Buffalo says, did you ever give any wrestlers their in-ring name in your career? I ask because I wonder what goes into giving someone a character name. The name Bron Breakker just irks me. I think we're all aligned on that. Nobody likes that name. Did you ever name somebody that you can recall?
I might have, probably did over the course of time. I'm with you on the Bron Breakker thing. I mean, that's not going to be the difference maker in him being a star or not. He's going to be a star because he's how he looks, how he moves, his physicality. Hey, when this kid delivers a offensive move, high impact move, man, it opens your eyes. He's pretty special in that respect. I don't know how his energy skills are going to evolve, but I'm sure willing to wait and see, check him out. But no, I don't think I'm sure I did. I'm sure I contributed to it at some point, or I vetoed something that sounded hokey, but primarily, you know, that was a Vince thing.
Let's talk a little bit about the news that's come out since you and I have recorded that AEW is setting up a residency in Arlington, Texas. They're going to host a summer series of events on the path to All In. They've got an esports stadium there, and it all starts on July 20th. They'll have shows there on July 20th, July 27th, August 1st, August 10th, and August 17th. Wow. That's not going to be too terribly far from you in Oklahoma. Nope. And it's the first time I remember seeing something like this in an esports stadium. What do you expect from this opportunity from AEW in Arlington?
Well, Conrad, let me ask you this question. What is the esports stadium? What does that translate to in layman terms?
They normally play video game contests there. So there's probably a lot of digital screens, and I mean, they host video gaming events there. So I just imagine that it might be technically a little different from your standard arena. And I think it'll be scaled for around 1,300 fans.
Yeah.
So this might feel like a Thunderdome on steroids, if you will.
Yeah, that ain't bad. That's not a bad description.
No.
To me, it's just part of the growth. It's part of the growth that Tony Khan is laying on us. And I think it's good. Anytime you can get the guys more work, anytime you get the guys more ring time, that's a good thing. So, hey, you're right about the geography. From where I'm sitting right now to getting to Dallas is a pretty quick trip, actually. And
it's like a 3-hour car ride, I think, from the arena to your house. So not too terrible.
Man. No, not bad. Not bad at all. But I'm curious. I'm curious to see what happens and how it goes and how it evolves. But anytime you can create an opportunity for talents to work more, to get more ring time, there's nobody on the AEW roster that doesn't need more ring time. That's just the nature of the beast. So, and I believe that to be true. You know, there's a lot of very talented guys, but they could all use more ring time. And because working a day a week, it can be a blessing or a curse. And, you know, you stay healthier. You should stay fresher. You shouldn't be on the injured list too often because of the schedule is compatible. So, I'm a big fan of the getting more work. And, the Dallas is an interesting choice. I'd like to hear more about that. I'd like to know more about that scenario, but I'm curious about it. it's something new, and I'm not such an old guy to get out of my yard kind of a guy that's going to get pissed off because things are not, you know, things change. Change is not always a bad thing, and us old guys shouldn't look at it that way ever. It's just, I think sometimes it's just because we're insecure or what have you, but it's a good thing to change and add new things, new challenges, create new opportunities. New is good. New is very good.
We got another question over on YouTube. Do you have any fun Bret Hart stories? Do you stay in contact with Bret? I was able to meet the Hitman last year at WrestleCon. He was so humble and appreciative of his fans. A 10 out of 10 experience. Of course, Bret is on everybody's mind because of his appearance in Who Killed WCW. Are you in regular communication with Bret? Got any fun Bret stories?
I don't know what regular means. We talk, we do talk. And I always enjoy either coming up with a reason to call him or him calling me. He always returns a call. He always returns a text. I have great respect for Bret Hart. Always did, always will. So, but we do keep, there's certain talents that you want to stay in touch with for various reasons. Bret's one of those guys. I don't ever want to lose contact with Bret Hart because I feel better when I talk to him. It's just about the business in general and a funny story about, you know, Stu and, you know, waiting on Bret to arrive at Stu's house so we could shoot our videos. And then I found out Bret had an indoor pool there in Calgary, and we were going to do some training videos, I think getting ready for him and Shawn Michaels in LA. And so I went to Calgary and stayed a couple of days to film this video stuff. And I didn't realize until we got there that he didn't know how to swim. So it's going to be hard to do swimming videos for somebody that doesn't know how to swim, because I sure as hell can't help you. So that's kind of where we were. We shot around it. You know, we creatively edited what we were doing, and we got the swimming aspect in without people knowing that Bret couldn't swim. So but I love the guy. He's just he has a great mind and a great soul. And I always get a big hug when I see him, and that means a lot to me. So, you know, it's funny what starts to mean more in your life, and these hugs, and these attaboys, and it's good to see you type thing, starts meaning more. And so I'm a Bret Hart guy. If there's ever anything I can do for Bret Hart, he knows it's just a phone call away and I'm in. So I love the guy. He's that same level of Stone Cold. He's just classy. You know what he means. He ain't got a he don't bullshit you. And I love that. His honesty is very refreshing.
Well, it's very refreshing to have you back live with us again. I know that stamina is still an issue after your viral infection, and we're still trying to build it up. So we're going to start winding down the show today. It's a little shorter than we might normally do, but we're getting Jim back in the swing of things, and he'll be feeling better than ever next week when we pick up our conversation about the natural Dustin Rhodes. We started talking about Dustin and his fabulous career. Of course, there's no way you could stick all that in one episode. We'll be back next week. So if you've got questions about the natural Dustin Rhodes, we certainly want to hear from you. Maybe you got questions about Goldust or any aspect of his career. Go like and subscribe right now at grillingjr.com. Look for the communities tab, and that's where you'll be able to ask questions about Dustin Rhodes. Be sure to hit the subscribe button while you're at grillingjr.com, because you never know when we're going to go live. Hell, we didn't know we were live today, but we were glad you were here with us. And hope that you'll tell a friend and join us here next week at grillingjr.com. In the meantime, you can find us on social media at JR Grilling over on Twitter and Instagram. It's GrillingJR on Facebook. Of course, you can pick up Jim's new autographed book, All Kinds of Sauce and Everything Else at jrsbbq.com. If you haven't already, go out of your way to check out Business is About to Pick Up. If you don't need an autographed version, which is available at jrsbbq.com, you can still pick it up on Audible. It's actually everywhere you enjoy your eBooks. I actually have a hard copy, Jim, that you sent me, and I've got the eBook. But now we've even got the audio book. Like, you've made this as easy as you can. Right. Go out of your way to check out Business is About to Pick Up, available now.
Yeah, we appreciate your business and all the positive feedback. It's very, very appreciative. And, but I'm feeling better. Anybody's wondering, I'm feeling good. I'll be back, pardon me, back in Florida sooner than later, at least for a short time. And we got these appearances coming up. I think I got one in July coming up. And so, you know, I those are important to me. Those appearances are important to me. And those promoters that are using me, I appreciate. I won't let you down. I'll always be on time and I'll always be in a good frame of mind. So it's all good stuff, man. And, but the book's doing good. And, I hope that you'll give it a shot, try it out, because there's, as Conrad so accurately pointed out, there's a lot of ways to access it. And so, check it out, see if you like it. Hope you do. And, we'll go from there. So, and I'm glad to be back on the air. I'm glad to be feeling good. I'm not blown up. I'm feeling really good right now. And so life is good, Connie. Life is good. My health is good. And my roles are manageable. My life is manageable. And you find out how many friends you got when you're kind of down. And my children here have been amazing to help me. Especially my daughter, that's the licensed physician assistant. She can interpret all this stuff. But when you start all over again with your doctors, it's a big undertaking. So, you know, I'm trying to schedule a gastronomical examination. And that's important for an old guy like me to make sure you're healthy. So it's all good stuff. Having good doctors is important as hell. And when you're young and you're bulletproof, it doesn't seem to be as important, but it is. So all life is good, man. I'm happy. I'm glad I'm in Oklahoma. It's going to be in the 90s here today, which kind of leaves me in the house. So it's all good stuff, buddy. And it's good to reconnect with you, Conrad. You know, you're one of my best friends, and Bull is, he's a good little bastard. So I got a good group here, you know, and I have great respect for you guys, and I appreciate all you do for me, and for you to be patient enough to get me back on the air. It means a lot. It means an awful lot. So bigger and better days are coming up. I enjoy doing these little Q&A type things. It lets you know what the fans are thinking about. And, I like that. It's just great feedback. It's great input. So, we'll be back next week, Lord willing, and from what location, I'm not sure, but, it'll be either right here in my Oklahoma office or it'll be back down on Jacksonville Beach. So we'll see, but in any event, we'll make it happen. I promise.
And we're going to make JR happen on pay-per-view at the end of the month. Forbidden Door, Jim Ross is coming back. Don't you dare miss it. Pick up your tickets right now at CJR Live at AEWTIX.com, or you can order on pay-per-view and enjoy from the comfort of your own home, which I will be doing. And I'm fired up about that show. Excited to see you back behind the microphone. And I'm ready to do Dustin Rhodes next week right here on Grilling JR with the voice of professional wrestling, Mr. Jim Ross.
Thanks, everybody. You don't know how much you mean to me, and I mean that sincerely. So thanks a lot. We'll see you here next week.